Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. Job had a job. Amen. He was a job. Amen. Amen. I've been teaching on things about struggling and self-esteem and things like that. And we know some people, even in our church, who are suffering. You know, there's all kinds of suffering. And so I thought, if anybody knows about suffering, we'll be able to find the answer in Job, shouldn't we? I mean, of all the people that ever lived, Job suffered. And valiantly, you know. And so I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, we got Bonnie and others in here, you know, who's lost loved ones, and now some jobs been lost, and bad health, and bad relationships, and all kind of things. So we all have a suffering heart sometimes. Everybody does. And there's tender spots in everybody's heart. I don't care how hard-hearted they are. There's always a little spot you can touch, and a tear come to the eye, and a quiver across the lip. I remember I used to preach in the York County Chain Gang, and I'd preach in the jails, and I'd get there, and these big old brawny men, you know, and I was a little 160-pound, 6'4", string bean, you know, and I'd get in there preaching. They kind of intimidated me till the invitation. I'd see them weep. I'd see them cry. Sometimes out loud, they'd weep, and they'd cry in tears, and they'd grab the back of those seats and just hang on, you know. I don't care who you are, where you came from, everybody suffers sometimes. And it's hard to get past it. It's hard to get past it. Look at Job chapter 6. Look at verse 2. Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore, my words are swallowed up. He said, if you could weigh my problems, if you could weigh my troubles and my heartache, my heartbreak, my suffering, it would weigh more than the sand of the sea. Now, why would he say the sand of the sea and not the sand of the Sahara? Because dry sand is lighter than wet sand. And just imagine all the sand of the sea at one time, wet and weighing that. It would be impossible to weigh it. So he says, my suffering so much, it's impossible to measure what I'm going through. Now, I think we've probably all been through that. If we haven't, you will. At times in our life, there's going to be times to where you feel like, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make this or not. And so I thought I'd talk about that a little bit of suffering hard. And suffering ought to prompt us to trust God more, not less. I always tell people, don't let this drive you away from the Lord. Let it draw you to Him. And I tell people, they'll get out of church, they'll go through some things, I'll go see them, they'll get out of church, and I'll say, well, I just don't even feel like going to church anymore. And I say, now look, don't let it drive you away from church. There's people at church that will help you, they'll encourage you. They've been through what you've been through, and they'll have compassion on you. Don't separate yourself from the people that would help you and the place that would help you. But everybody gets into suffering, all kinds of suffering. And sometimes it does make them love God less instead of more. Now, if all the people in the world, Job would be the perfect example of the one that could have an excuse to leave God. I mean, his whole family was destroyed. All his riches were destroyed. All his property. He had no friends. Even his own wife was not really his friend. And so he would be the example. If you think somebody to turn away from God and run away from God, he would be the one, wouldn't you think? But it didn't. Now here's the reality. We all live in a broken world. This world's sin cursed. Sin cursed. This whole world is sin cursed. A lot of people, and I know these redneck preachers, you know, they'll buy them a pair of cowboy boots and cowboy hat and a cowboy buckle, and all of a sudden they want to move out to Montana or somewhere and live out in the mountains. They say, if I could just get out there, it would be better. And I said, why you want to move out there? He said, well, there ain't so many people. I said, I thought you was in the ministry. And he said, I am. I said, well, that's what the ministry is people. Who are you going to minister to? Mountain goats? You're supposed to be where the people are. You ain't supposed to run away. You're supposed to run to them. But they went through a little. These preachers realized that just because God fixed them, He didn't fix the whole world. And they're suffering in this world. The world's broken. And yeah, hey, if you look long, it'll break your heart just to look at the broken world. And the world knows that too. They tug at our heartstrings this time of year about toys. You know what I mean? And then there's a lot of foolish and sinful choices of other people that will make us suffer. Other people hurt us. Their bad choices make us suffer. Amen. A wayward child, and that's why I ain't hurting nobody but me. Yeah, you are. You're hurting other people too. You're hurting your mama. You're hurting your daddy, your brothers, your sisters. Suffering is a result of somebody going the wrong way or something wrong happening. And because we live in a sin-cursed world and other people's choices, lost and saved people, their choices doesn't just make them suffer. It makes us suffer too. And then sometimes our own silly, sinful choices make us suffer too, because just because you get forgiveness of it does not mean there won't be results. No, God will forgive you. He'll wash it away by the blood of Jesus, make you whiter than snow. But for every action, there's a reaction. And He might put it under blood and fix it, but that doesn't fix everybody around us that we hurt when we made dumb choices and we sinned, you know. And by the way, everybody does that. Don't think that you're above doing that. Everybody does that. We hurt other people. We do. And Satan attacks. That makes us suffer when Satan attacks us. And you think he won't attack you? Why do you think the book of Job is there? Why do you think Paul said Satan buffeted him? And he had that thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan, he said. Satan attacks every believer. And so that causes suffering when he attacks. And then sometimes, believe it or not, according to Romans 8 and 9, it's the plan of God for you to suffer sometimes. Suffering's good for you sometimes. Good for you spiritually. Some people say no pain, no gain physically. Well, sometimes it's that way spiritually too. Sometimes God has to put us through suffering to break us so He can remake us into the right thing, see. So there's all kind of reasons for suffering. So under all some of those reasons, everybody that we know, and even ourselves, and everybody that comes to this church, suffers. Everybody does. We look at people, we judge them by where they live, the car they drive, the clothes they wear, the money they have in the bank. But let me tell you something, all those people suffer. A lot of y'all older people remember Janis Joplin. She was one of the greatest singers, I guess. She had a voice like you wouldn't believe. One could scream your eardrums out. She was young. She was young. And I think she might have been 26, 27 years old. They found her dead in a motel room. And she had overdosed with heroin. Her managers had made her a heroin addict. And she overdosed on heroin, and she had told somebody the week before, she said, I feel so lonely. The only place that I'm not lonely is on the stage when I'm singing, because when I'm not singing, I'm by myself in my room, and I have no friends, and I have no family, and I'm lonely. She suffered. And so everybody suffers. I've heard of preachers, pastors committing suicide. Yes. Because they suffer. Of course, families suffer. Churches suffer. Now, when you suffer, what do? Look at Job chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The first thing we'll do when we're suffering is worship God. That's the first thing. The first thing he did, he didn't go to the doctor, he didn't go to the psychiatrist, he didn't ask his wife's counsel. He shaved his head, which was a sign of remorse. He put on sackcloth and ashes, which was a sign of remorse. He laid down in the dirt, and he cried out to God, and he said, "Whatever happens, God's been good to me. I came in naked, I'll go out naked. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God gave it to me. God gave me that person. God gave me that place. God gave me that thing. All of it came through His hand. So if He takes it away from me, it was His to start with. I'm going to worship God and say, thank you, God, for letting me borrow it a little while. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a husband or a wife or whatever it might have been, you know. But the first thing when we suffer is we got to make worshiping God our first response. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. We can't run away. We can't hide. We can't fix it. We can't cover it up. Get off somewhere by yourself. I've done it. I've got off in the woods by myself and wept and cried and hollered and said, where's the God of Abraham? Where's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And I'd fall on my face just later and cry and worship God. And after a while, you'll feel His presence when you suffer. You know what you need to do? Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13. This is what you need to do. Look at verse 23 and 24. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? Now that's a man talking to God. He's telling God how he feels. He said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned. He said, but why would you hide your face from me, God? I need you right now. Sometimes you just need to tell God how you feel. You know, me and God don't always agree. I've told Him. I said, God, I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't want to do this, God. I don't want to do this. I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like the way this is affecting me or my family or somebody. God, I don't like this. I know that You're God. I know that You can do anything. And I know this is in Your plan or it wouldn't be happening. But I just tell you, God, I don't like it. I know that's wrong, God. I'm sorry that it's wrong, but I don't like what I'm going through. Be honest with God. Well, you'll find out those long, repetitious, highbrow prayers will do you absolutely no good when you're suffering. Just tell Him how you feel. Tell Him. Tell Him. Confess your sins and tell Him. And then you need to do this in Job chapter 2, and I've already touched on it, and I'm bad about getting ahead of myself. But Job chapter 2, verse 11, if you look at it with me. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, came from his own place. And I'm not going to try to pronounce their names. It's Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew not, they lifted up their, knew him not, they didn't even recognize him, they lifted up their voices and wept. And they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word. For they saw that his grief was very great. You know what you need to do? You need to surround yourself with the right people. There's some people, if you surround yourself with the right people, they won't even have to say anything. Besides, what can they say? I found out a long time ago at a funeral or something, ain't there? I don't know how you feel. That wasn't my husband. That wasn't my wife. That wasn't my mama. That wasn't my dad. It was yours. I know how I felt, but I don't know how you feel. For years when I was a young preacher, I felt ashamed because I didn't know how to tell people that because I'd not been through those things with the deaths and all that. And then I realized that one day, I'll never know how they feel, because that's not me, that's them. And so these wise people came, and when they saw the sorrow he was in, they knew they could do nothing, so they just sat there with him for 7 days. Didn't say a word. Now, that's a friend. They didn't come around and say, well, let me tell you what you need to do, Job. Later on, you're going to find out that some came around and said, let me tell you what you did wrong. You'll get those, you know. But you need to surround yourself when you're going through suffering. You need to surround yourself with good people. And that's why I tell you, keep going to church. You say, well, I don't feel like seeing people. Go to church anyway. They're not going to bother you. And even if they say something wrong, they meant well. Amen? It ain't time to go down to the bar. Amen? It ain't time to go back wherever you came from. Those people didn't help you then. Why do you think they're going to help you now? You better get around the right people. Amen? Besides that, God's still got some children that know what to do. Amen? And you need those people. Now, when others suffer, you just need to be like these people. You just need to be there for that person that's suffering. And look, just tell them, say, if you need anything, I'm here for you. And then shut up. I'm sorry. Speaketh not. Don't give any simplistic theological answers. You have no clue what you're talking about. I hear these preachers go around people in the hospital and funeral home stuff, and they'll spout off these big, long theological things, you know, and I think, why don't you just shut up? They don't want to hear that. They want you to say, we're praying for you. And then what we need to do is, when others are suffering, we need to point to the supreme God and His supremacy. We need to remind our friends when they're suffering, God's still in control. And it may not look like it today or tomorrow or next week, maybe even next year, but one day it'll come around and you'll see what it all meant. Until then, just trust God, and I'm going to sit here and shut up. I hate it when people try to tell, when people are suffering and others try to tell them why they're suffering. And I hate it when people come to me, and I've known them over the years, in church, come to me and say, did you hear about Brother So-and-so's family? You know, his son was in a car wreck. And you know, it may be that God's getting back at him for what he did. Shut up. Shut thine mouth. You have no idea what you're talking about. Hadn't y'all heard people say stuff like that? Well, you know, he got out of church for all them years. This may be God whipping him. You don't know that. Shut your mouth. Let God do the talking. Don't try to tell why. You don't know. And if they ask you why, say, I don't know. I tell people that, and the older I get, the less I know. But we do remind them, though, just like Job said, it came through God's hand, whatever it was. It came through God's hand. Remind people that when they're suffering, say, look, I don't know why. I don't know how this is going to turn out. But it had to come through God's hand. So let's just trust Him. And always put the less, not you. Let us trust Him. Don't look at Him and say, you need to trust God. Say, let's just trust God. Here's how we'll look at suffering. Job 19. Look at verse 25. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
You ain't mad at me, are you? Not yet. Trying to help you. Hillbilly. Job 19, verse 25 says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter time upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. We'll look at suffering in the light of eternity, the long picture.
Yes, sir.
He said, after the worms have eaten my flesh, I'll know what's going on by then. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know one day he's going to stand on the earth, and I know one day that these reins, this body's going to be put back together, and I'm going to see him with these eyes right here. So in the long run, the suffering may be worth whatever it is. Job 42, 1-3. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto thee, thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, ultimately, God knows the why. Job said, I've talked about things I really didn't know what I was talking about. He said, I've talked about things too wonderful for me even to understand. And then at the end he said, I've sinned. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. In other words, he saw God in what was going on in the suffering. And he said, wherefore, when he saw God, he said, wherefore I abhor myself. I hate myself. And repent. Well, what did Job repent of? Job repented of self-righteousness. Did you know that? All through the book of Job, I've heard preachers preach on the book of Job, and they kept preaching on his righteousness and his holy living, and he was, and he did, and all these things, you know. And they never mentioned it, that he repented of his sin. Pride. That's what he had pride. And here he repents of his pride. But in order to do that, he had to see God in the suffering, in order to see what God was really made out of. He only saw God before as a gracious benefactor. He gave him the cattle. He gave him the sheep. He gave him the land. He gave him the children. He gave him the wife. He gave him the houses. Now he sees God as the judge as well as the benefactor. Now he sees God as the judge. And God, he acknowledges, God has judged me rightly. I am a sinner, and I've been eat up with pride. I thought I was special. But now that I see it, I understand why. In 42, look at verse 4 through 6 now. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare unto thou me. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye seeth, wherefore I abhor myself. Did you know what we need to do like Job did? We need to look in areas of our life where God might be trying to tell us something while we're suffering. He might be trying to tell you something. Now, people say God doesn't speak. Well, I see God speak every day. God speaks in creation. Even Romans chapter 1 says that. The creation declares the glory of God every day. You'll hear him speaking, the birds singing, and the squirrels chirping, you know. And then you see him in a little sweet little baby. You see the love of God and the gift of God and the graciousness of God. And then you see in older people the wisdom of God and the learning of God and things like that. And then occasionally he'll put you in a spot to where when you look around, you'll have to say, God put me here, and you'll see God there, see. And that's the way we got to look at our suffering. We got to look at why we're suffering, what we're going through, because God might be right square in the middle of that suffering saying, look, I'm standing right here. I need you to listen to me. A lot of people don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I hate suffering. Some of us grew up in suffering. But boy, once you get Jesus in that picture with the suffering, it's so much better. Once you see that he's in there working, then it's not woe is me, and it's not doom. There's something better coming after the suffering. Amen? After every storm, boy, in the summertime, you know, showers come, and after that, the sky is bluer, and the air is fresher, you know. And somebody told me one time, you know, I always like to smell that spring rain. You know, you can smell it in the air, you know. And somebody says, well, that's the rain bringing the ozone layer down. That's bad. I said, shut up. You didn't have to tell me that. I said, that's God. God's doing that. Amen. If he wants to bring the ozone layer down, he can do it. That's his business. Besides that, he might just be washing out the sky falls. Amen. But you got to look for God in your suffering. And then Job chapter 40. Go back to Job chapter 40, if you will. Look at verse 1. I said you ought to view suffering in the light of eternity, and you ought to remember that God knows why. And you ought to look for areas God's trying to tell you something so you can grow. And then last but not least, look at verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered and the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, and we read that a while ago, but I will not answer yea twice, but I will proceed no further. Now he finally had to submit to the supremacy of God, his sovereignty, his power, and his presence. Job finally said it. He said, I've been doing a lot of talking, but I'm not talking anymore. I'm putting my hand over my mouth. I'm not God. I'm no contest for you. God, I'm just listening from now on. I'm just listening. Now, we're honest with God when we pray. He tells us to be honest with him. But we don't tell God what to do. You turn on that TV preacher and he's on there praying. He says, boy, if you pray this prayer, God's got to heal people. God ain't got to do nothing. He's God. You don't have to do anything. We don't tell God what to do. And listen, while we're suffering, if we'll just recognize his sovereignty, meaning he's in total control. He's the one that owns this place. He's the one that owns us. And he's the one doing the work. And what we need to do is shut up and listen. Recognize sovereignty of God. Some people think that God's some kind of little Santa Claus or something up there, and they can tell him what to do. They said, well, I'm going to tell God to heal me, and he's got to heal me because he said, by his stripes you're healed. By the way, that's those stripes pay for the healing of your sins, not your body. He's got to do it. Nah, God ain't got to do nothing. What you need to do is be quiet and let God be God. Amen? Did you know while you're suffering, we'll try to tell God how to fix it? And God said, who do you think you are talking to me? You're telling me how to fix this? He was here before the foundation world was ever laid. He was here before the universe was made. God's God. And who are we to tell God how to do it? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with a lot of churches. And I think the air conditioning came on instead of the heat. But I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Can I tell you, now there's no people that were with the original First Baptist here tonight, and I'm sure they never watched the videos or hardly ever. But one of the things that happened here is this. They started off well. They ran well. Had a good crowd. Had a good pastor. He retired or quit. And somebody thought they were smarter than God and tried to get a pastor that was different than the first one. Maybe a little more hip, a little more cool. And it went down. And then something happened. Maybe they couldn't pay him enough with as attendance went down. So they call another one. They said, well, we need to be a little more hip, a little more cool. And then it goes down again. It goes down again. and that happened about six times in a row. Now, let me tell you something. As a church, we will not tell God what to do. We will not. We'll go by His book. And if we ever go through a time of suffering in this church, we'll do it and keep our mouth shut and let God be God and let every man be a liar. Amen? We'll just go ahead. Now, do you pray to come out of suffering? Sure you do. But you don't tell Him how to fix it. Some men have lived defeated lives for the rest of their life because their wife left them and they refused to let God do anything but bring that woman back. And sometimes they're better off without her. And vice versa. Sometimes women, for the rest of their life, they just keep praying that they want that husband back. And he wasn't no good when they had him in the first place. If he was, he'd still be there. Amen? Let's don't tell God how to do it. Let's just say, God, I'm hurting here. I need some help. Lord, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but I'm going to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen? Now, that's how you suffer. We don't complain. We don't run up a flag every time there's a testimony service to brag on our suffering. We don't pound the drum and beat the... what we do, we suffer quietly and we trust God. We ain't got to have it on Facebook. You ain't got to have it on Twitter, Instagram. Ain't nobody reading the Herald, so it don't matter if put it in the Herald or not. Nobody watches CNN, so ain't no need to put it on there. But we'll suffer. And then you know what we friends will do. We'll sit quietly and we'll do whatever you ask us to do and love you all the way through it. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.